We're going to back to the zodiac dial, as it was. We're speaking about the works of Christ seen in the heavens through the 12 zodiac signs, which are associated with the 12 tribes of Israel, and they are associated with various stones, precious stones. And that's associated with the high priest of Israel, which is associated with the New Jerusalem, which has precious stones there, and all of these things are connected. And so, we're going to go through these things no matter how long it takes. And all I would say to you folks is, the best you can, just try to connect all this, because it's all one, in a sense, it's all connected. Let me just say that. Before we begin, though, yes, here it is. It's another Koine Greek snapshot for you. I know you're waiting for it. I knew you were waiting, so here it is. The other Koine Greek snapshot, or the one for tonight, is the Greek form apolutrosine. And what is that? That's found in Ephesians 1. Verse 7, and it means in the English, redemption. And what's so important about apolutrosine? Well, let's read Ephesians 1. This is a little sidebar, 4 through 7. And, this gets to what the Lord has done for us, right? And we read that the blood of Christ is still in our calling. It's in every calling. And what it says in Ephesians 1, 4 through 7, according as he has chosen in him before the katabale of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of sons, that's huiothesia, by Christ Jesus to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made accepted in the beloved one, in whom we have apolutrosine, in whom we have redemption through his precious blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. And what this Greek form means for, is that we were set free, we were delivered, apolutrosine, we were delivered, implying that we were delivered in the process of freeing us, pardon me, as slaves. We were slaves to sin, and we were under the control, or we were owned by another. And that more or less is the evil one, who has the power of death. And we were bought with a precious price, and now we belong to another. That's what this form alludes to, with a price, the precious blood of the Son of God, and that we were freed as slaves, but now we belong to the Lord. And I personally just think that that's a beautiful tidbit of something for us to think about. And I know that all of you knew that, but that was your Koine Greek snapshot. I don't know why I came up with that, but it'll throw out some Greek forms every once in a while. Last time I made a mistake. I called the rotation, the movement of the sun through the universe, and as it passes through all these constellations, I called it an elliptic. And it's actually an ecliptic. It's not an elliptic, it's an ecliptic. So, if you want to be really accurate, I made a mistake. It's called the ecliptic, when the sun moves through all these constellations. And studying that in itself, the constellations rotate at a particular speed, and then the sun rotates a little bit either slower or faster, probably slower, and so it seemed to move through these constellations, and that in itself, boy, I wonder who planned that. I mean, I'm sure that all came about by by happenstance, right? And so we get involved in looking at the speeds of all these planets and how glorious they are and how far they are and how huge they are. Well, one thing that impresses me is that this was all done for human beings on this planet. You know, I mean, that kind of struck me when, he put all these things in order so that they could be viewed from this planet. And if you know how minuscule and we're not even a speck of dust in the universe, that in itself is just phenomenal. All right, so we did go through five of these zodiac signs up to this point. Just reviewing a little bit, it starts out with Virgo, and then it goes clockwise down to the right. If you have your zodiac constellation chart, and I want to apologize. I got this chart from off of the internet, and you know, the figures on here could be a lot more complete and detailed. And so, you know, if everybody's got Bullinger's book, I forgot exactly the name of it, A Witness in the Stars, is that what it... What? Yeah, I mean, you can look all of these signs up in detail, or I could print them out a couple at a time and send them over the wire if you like. And so we're going to discuss one tonight, Aquarius, that, there's something, The Witness of the Stars, beautiful book. And there's something missing from my, the one I sent you, but just try to bear with us. Okay, up to this point, we looked at Virgo. Virgo is the virgin, and we know that it stands for the promised seed of the woman. And we went in some detail through that. Moving on, we find, come to the next one, which is Libra, and it's the scales, and it stands for the price deficient, balanced by the price which covers, which has to do with a price that we can't pay, and the price that the Son of God just graciously paid with joy, the scriptures say. Then we move on to Scorpio, the scorpion, and this refers to the Redeemer's conflict. It has to do with the two seeds, about one seed crushing the head of the serpent and the other one wounding the foot of the Lord. The scorpion has to do with one who tries to wound but himself is trodden underfoot. That's basically what Scorpio about. The next one is Sagittarius, which is the archer, which talks about the two-natured conqueror going forth, conquering and to conquer. And it talks about the triumphant warrior that he came in humbleness, and now he's coming back as the triumphant warrior. We read about a few things in Revelation about how he's going to come back in, you know, with the wrath of God and in judgment. Then the next one we went over is Capricorn, which was the fish goat, and it's a goat with actually a fish tail. And what that meant was the goat of atonement, which we know who that was, slain for the redeemed. And the fish tail has to do with all the redeemed ones. We know that the picture is of a goat that's kind of looks kind of not too powerful and it's kind of crumbled. But its tail is flourishing, and that's the work of the sun for all those that are redeemed. And so, very quickly, those are the ones that we went through to this point, and now we're on the sign of Aquarius. And you know, I don't know why this came to mind, and it's pretty goofy, and I don't even know why I'm going to say this, but all of a sudden this song is ringing out in my head, right? This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius. Well, you know, that was, I'm sorry, that just ran through my head, and what that is basically is it's a goofy human, probably astrology viewpoint of Aquarius, if I got that right. It probably, the song, I don't think, has anything to do with the Lord whatsoever, but I know that if you're as old as I am. No singing, please. Okay, sorry, man. Yeah, you know, this, you know, I'm sorry, but that just ran through my head. And if you're as old as I am, you know exactly the song I'm talking about. I don't know when it came out in high school, but it's really excellent now when I come to realize that, you know, that was just total bunk. Human beings, like they have all in the past, from the Tower of Babel to today, just playing around and with dishonor to the Lord. And 1968, look at that. Thanks very much, Gary. And I didn't know that, so I wonder what Gary did. And yeah, and what they do is they're in a sorry state. I really feel sorry for human beings. Sometimes I get irritated at them, and sometimes, you know, they have no idea what they're doing. They have no idea what they're dealing with when they do such things, and they have no idea the subtle influence they might have on young minds, you know. And so, I'm happy to say that Aquarius has nothing to do with whatever they're talking about. Atlantis or who knows what yeah, it has to do with the water bearer. Aquarius is the water bearer, and what it means is living waters of blessing poured forth for the redeemed ones. And what is absent in this crude picture here is you'll see the man, the water bearer, and under his left foot, which is the big old foot that you see, there should be a fish with its mouth open. Okay? There should be a fish under that foot there, his left foot, the one that's closest to you, a big old fish with its mouth open. And this water is streaming into this big fish's mouth. That's what should be there. And what this is the Redeemer pouring out blessings to the redeemed, which is in the figure of the fish, and they're drinking it in abundance. And what this is it has to do with the atonement being made. The blessing can now be poured forth. And as I said before, released March 1969. Look at this guy, the song. I think we gotta stop. We might wanna, kind of sorry I sang. And the atonement. I mean, how much could we talk about and study about the atonement and the one who was the atonement? And now that atonement in this sign is being poured forth upon the redeemed ones, and it should be this big fish at the bottom of that of the foot there, drinking in this blessing. In our basic picture, we don't have the fish there with the mouth wide open, but it's there under the bearer's left foot, and they're the redeemed, drinking in the inexhaustible supply of blessings. That's what the sign means. And so, you know, these signs, as I stated before, have a lot of stars within them. You know, they have, you know, maybe, who knows, red giants, who knows what other kind of stars if you're really into astronomy. And we could go into much, much more detail that has to do with holiness. And that's what these signs originally were made for. Were made to read the plan of redemption in the very heavens that are above the planet Earth. And that in itself, you know, that in itself should, you know, just really, I mean, if we think about all the things that our God has done and is doing for us, you know, we just have no excuse. He's everywhere. And I think there's a psalm that talks about saying that this earth is His. This earth isn't man's. This earth isn't Satan's. This earth is His. And we know that He's going to come back in the sun again and claim it with power the next time. Turn to Isaiah 44, please. Isaiah 44. And we're just going to, what we're doing here, and I hope you enjoy this. This is in no way a total encapsulation of these signs, but you know, some of these truths are just beautiful things to me. Isaiah 44, 1 through 6 is a scripture I believe is associated with Aquarius. In, let's say, at least the truth of it. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel. Whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thy offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. Another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord of King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. Amen. I'll say to that, we serve the one and only living God. Amen to that. Turn to John 4, please. And I'm just trying to associate the waters of redemption, the inexhaustible supply of blessings being found in the scriptures, in the types of water, and I suppose I could say, when we move off of Aquarius, I could say, hey, might be a great study for any of us to study water throughout the scriptures and see where it brings us. But it does bring us to John 4. So let's turn to John 4, please. John 4, 1 through 14. Few scriptures, but they're beautiful. The living water. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again unto Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then comes he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Interesting. We find Jacob and Joseph in John 4. Pretty interesting. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or 12 noon, and there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto a city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, thou knew the gift of God, and who it is that thou said to thee, give me to drink. Thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Imagine this. Imagine the Lord, the Son of God, and what he must have felt like in his heart about this woman. It's a real touching, beautiful picture. And the woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Oh man, imagine this. Imagine what the Lord thought, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What a tremendous picture here of the living water and of the sign of Aquarius in the heavens. that was found in John 4 and Isaiah 44. And again, there are many other examples, certainly throughout the scriptures. And we could go to, again, maybe sometimes, sometime I'll reconnoiter and maybe go through, or somebody else may want to go through these signs in a lot greater detail, but even in the basic things, they are just tremendous. We turn now to Pisces, number 7, or actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the 7th sign, Pisces. What Pisces is the fishes. And this is very interesting. We're going to get into something a little bit interesting here that I find interesting. What this sign means is it means the redeemed, those are the fishes, that are blessed, though they're still bound. There's still a problem. There's still an enemy present. There's still a conflict present, and that's what this sign alludes to, the fishes. The redeemed one that redeemed ones that have this overflowing abundance of living water, but they still have a conflict. Pisces represents the Redeemer's work enjoyed, but in the presence of a conflict. Two large fishes bound by a band, by chains, and this represents conflict. And we certainly know we have conflict. We have conflict with powers, principalities, and powers that are unseen. And they have stratagem. That's what the scriptures teach us. Principalities and powers that are fallen are very real. They're very alive. They certainly must be as alive as God the Holy Spirit. They work on us. They try to deceive us. They try to defeat us. They try to put us on a different course. They try to irritate us. They try to make us irritating. You know, I mean, they try to take our joy, try to take our strength. I mean, you know, these are some examples of what I go through. They try to keep my mind away from who I truly am in the Lord. They try to keep me away from the power of my calling, being enjoyed. They try to keep me out of the scriptures. I do a good job at that myself. And so we're in conflict with ourselves. We're in conflict with the old man. So we've got some interesting things going on, all of us. We have constantly interesting things going on every second. That's how I feel. I can only speak for myself. I'm learning that. I can't speak for anybody else. But, you know, freakish, that's okay. I can speak for myself. I go through conflict all the time, whether it be the old man, new man, or whether it be with principalities and powers. I go through it every second of every day. And if nothing else, it's a mental war. And so I can just say that, knowing that, why am I saying that? I'm not saying I'm special. I'm saying that as a brother, I'm saying that if you're going through that, I suppose we're supposed to be going through that, and we're being perfected, and we're chosen. We're in a battle. We're warriors. We're soldiers, according to 2 Timothy. We can either be honorable or dishonorable, and so these things do lapse or overlap into our calling. And so these fishes. What do these fishes mean? Going back to Pisces. The fishes, okay, well, you know, I don't believe that we see the mystery in these signs. I'm going to say that right out. I don't believe that the dispensation of the mystery is seen in these signs. But it could be that any other calling might be seen in these signs. Because these fishes here, and these fishes here speak of Abraham's seed. And let's turn to Genesis 22. All right? And we're going to, like I said, Pisces, I think is very interesting. I'm going to go ahead of myself as we turn to Genesis 22, and I'm going to say that it has to do with two callings. That's what these two fishes are. Two callings. That true callings as true as ours, but they're not the mystery. They're not the church of the fullness of Christ. And, I will say that. I will say that some books that are written by tremendous men that we know, you have to make sure that when they were written, that they knew the mystery at the time that they were written. Right? I mean, let's say somebody like Dr. Bullinger. Well, we know that he wrote a number of books before he came to know the mystery, right? And so, who am I to talk about him? I'm not putting him down in any way. I'm just saying that when you read about the church, quote, in books that are older, pay careful attention to what is being talked about as far as the church is concerned. And you all know that. I just, what? Everybody grows in the Lord. And that's what my wife said. So, Genesis 22, 7 through 18. Okay, now, I'm going to say this. We have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. We have faith. We have the law. Those are some very, very, very interesting subjects in the Scriptures. No doubt, right? And so, a lot of Israel talks about their fathers, talked about their fathers in the Scriptures. They go back to Isaac, they go back to Jacob, they go back to Abraham. And so, I think it's very important for us to understand what Abraham was about, what Isaac was about, what Jacob was about, what Moses was about. And so, we turn to Genesis 22. That is if we want to learn about a fuller knowledge of the Scriptures and other callings. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am. Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to a place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound up Isaac his son. Question, how old was Isaac? And laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Here am I, I'm sorry. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. While Almighty God has not withheld His only dearly beloved Son from us. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, And thy seed shall be put, and thy seed shall possess, pardon me, and speak, the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Incredible. And so, in Genesis 22, as others have said, we have a star seed and we have a sand seed. Star seed and a sand seed. Pisces speaks to the multitudes who will enjoy the blessings of the Redeemer's work. But why two fishes? You'll notice that one's horizontal, very close to the ecliptic, and the other one is perpendicular. That shoots upwards towards the polar or the north star. The two fishes very possibly speak of two callings. One heavenly in nature, perpendicular, shooting up to the north star, and one earthly. Yet they are both holy callings. And this very possibly, if we think about the heavenly Jerusalem, and the New Jerusalem, and how little, in my opinion, anyway, how little the heavenly Jerusalem is talked about anywhere, except in a few smatterings in the New Testament, and then in pretty good detail in Revelation. Other than that, you don't find much about it. But what could be extremely interesting and very compelling is that if this sign actually spoke of it in the heavens, think about that. And think that other than the star seed being spoken about, not much is written, if anything, about the heavenly city in the Old Testament. And then, all of a sudden in the Acts period, in Hebrews, just a few things are said about the New Jerusalem, and of course, in Revelation. And I find that to be very compelling, very, very highly interesting to me. If we turn to Galatians 3, okay, we're going to be talking about Abraham and these two fishes. These two fishes, which represent, I believe, a very possible two callings and redeemed ones that are taking in the overflowing abundance of the Redeemer's gift. And if we turn to Galatians 3, we're going to turn to Galatians 3 and Hebrews 11, classics talking about Abraham. I just find that Abraham, in an extremely big, big way, was a man of the law? Absolutely not. Abraham was a man of faith, because the law came through Moses many years later. See? And so I find that to be extremely interesting myself. And then if we apply the sign to it, two callings to it, a star seed and a sand seed to it, and then we read about Abraham in the New Testament a bit, we begin maybe to find out how our God is really working. And so when we turn to, not that we didn't know that, I'm not implying that, I'm saying that to me, myself. Galatians 3, 8 through 14, in the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the good message unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. I'll read verse 9 again. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And I'm just compelled to say this. Galatians, there was Jews in Galatia, by the way. Because when we turn back to Galatians 2:15 on the other page over there, Paul says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of Gentiles. If you look at Galatians 2:15, I believe there was a multitude of Jews here too. That there wasn't only Gentiles written to in the book of Galatians. Galatians was written to the Jew also. That's my personal belief. Because Jews were there. And Gentiles weren't given the law. Jews were. Gentiles had no idea what the law was whatsoever. So that's pretty sound, I think. So as we go on in Galatians 3, we find in verse 10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. For it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham, interesting, might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Were these promises by faith or by the law? And then, are these seeds what we're seeing in Pisces? Okay, some interesting things to mull over. To Abraham and his seed, he has a star seed and a sand seed, where the promise is made. He says, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this, I'll read 17 and 18. And this I say, a covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise given to Abraham of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise. That's interesting. That's a interesting, heavy-duty statement to me. But God gave it to Abraham by promise, and when he gave it to Abraham by promise, was Abraham a man of the law, or was he a man of faith? Very simple questions, not trying to stir anything up. What does the Scriptures teach? All I'm saying. Okay, so, reading Hebrews 11, which has to do with the New Jerusalem. Okay. Abraham's seed, by faith. And so we wonder, we can say, I'll say this again, when was Galatians written? When was Hebrews written? Was it written early in Acts, middle in Acts, or later in Acts? They were supposedly written together, sent together. Personally, I think they were written in early Acts. And so the truth that is contained in Galatians and Hebrews was given forth by the Apostle Paul early, or at least no later than middle Acts. Now that should be thought about. And I'm just gonna say that. That whatever is contained in Galatians and Hebrews wasn't at the end of Acts. It was given out earlier in Acts, or in middle Acts, and Acts was 35 to 40 years. It wasn't like the Acts period was 6 months or something. 40 years, 35 years went by. 35 years, day after day, week after week, month after month. 35 years of the Holy Spirit ministering. And so, I think that the contents of Galatians and Hebrews should be looked at and understood in this light. We read Hebrews 11, 1 through 16. And the New Jerusalem is found here, the star seed. And I could say this, I could say, well, did a Jew believe in Christ during the book of Acts? Any Jew? Did anyone of Israel believe in the Lord Jesus Christ crucified and resurrected during the book of Acts? Well, there's no doubt about it. And so, did they have faith? Or what? Okay, very, very simple. Very simple. If you were a Jew during the book of Acts, and you believed in the blood of Christ, did you have faith in it? Or what? And, I'll invite any discussion on this. Okay, so you had Jews around for 35 years after Christ died and rose from the dead. The Holy Spirit going out preaching faith through the blood of Christ. Certainly in Galatians. Certainly in Hebrews. And so, when a Jew believed, was he a man of faith? Or a woman of faith? Very simple. Very basic. But it has to do with Abraham, I believe, and it has to do with what was promised to Abraham. And so if you were a person of faith during the book of Acts, did you get anything special? Or did you inherit the kingdom, quote? And see, I think that when people talk about the kingdom, it should be talked about in more detail than just kingdom, just saying the kingdom, the kingdom. What are you talking about? Are you talking about the millennial kingdom? Are you talking about a kingdom where Christ was head and king that never happened? What are you talking about? And what about the people of faith during the book of Acts? What happens to them? You've got certainly thousands of rejectors. This is all basic truth, all right in there. You have Pharisees that want to kill him. You have Judaizers that want to turn him back to the law. And you have religious people floating all over the place that don't believe in the Son of God at all. And they're rejectors in the blood of Christ. But then you have faithful ones during the book of Acts. Well, what about them? And is there a difference between the two as far as in the eyes of God? Very simple, basic questions. But they're extremely important. That's what Mike thinks. Who cares what Mike thinks? Okay, that's all right. Is there something special given to a Jew or a Gentile during the book of Acts if they have faith in the blood of Christ? And I say yes and amen. It's called the New Jerusalem by faith. And so we read in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, why is Paul writing about faith so early in the book of Acts? To Hebrews. Hebrews isn't written to Gentiles, it's written to Hebrews. So Paul is writing to Hebrews about faith. Is that undeniable or what? Hebrews, faith. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Really? So Paul is talking to Hebrews, and he's talking about who? He's talking about Hebrew elders and other people. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. Well, that's basic. By faith Abel, he wasn't under the law, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, being dead, yet speaks. By faith Enoch, the law hadn't come yet, was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so, we get into some interesting studies here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's interesting, written in early Acts to the Hebrews. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of him that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Noah was a man of faith. By faith, Abraham. Abraham was a man of faith when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles, Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And so, what's interesting is Isaac and Jacob are mentioned here. And certainly, Jacob and his 12 sons were testifying of the law through high priests in the tabernacle. But what's interesting is that their heirs of promise, along with their dad that was a faithful man, for Abraham looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there, even as one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, in the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Speaking of the sign of Pisces, possibly. These all died in faith. All of these. Not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And it goes on to say in verse 16, but now they declare desire a better country that's in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them a city. And if you read on, you'll find that there were others of faith too, including Joseph and Isaac and Jacob and Moses. So, I think that what's interesting is we wonder about what is going on here with callings as far as the star seed and the sand seed when faith is being talked about. And I truly believe that the ones that were of faith during the book of Acts were the starseed chosen by faith under the faithful blessings by faith of their father Abraham, the seed of promise. And so I'm going to stop there. I invite any questions or any discussions about these things. You know, these things get very involved, I suppose, at times. You know, but we have interesting things going on in the scriptures, interesting things going on in the book of Acts, interesting things going on in the heavens and in these signs. And if in fact, yes, I would say they are the bride, if in fact Pisces speaks of the heavenly city, a heavenly calling, through the perpendicular fish pointing to the North Star, it's very compelling. And so I thank you for being here. I hope that it's, we got to 7 of them so far. We have 5 more to go. And I hope this is edifying to you. I hope it makes sense to you. I invite any discussion on this whatsoever. I don't claim to be an expert about anything in the scriptures. Thank you.